Good evening, church. Great to see you all this evening. I'm Mark, if I haven't met you before. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a great, my great privilege tonight to be able to interview and share the story with Amy and Woon Uwe tonight, which is great. If you're part of the rhythm of our church, you'll know every 5 or 6 weeks I get the great privilege of being able to share stories. And why do stories matter? Well, we know that most other Sunday nights you would be here, and you often hear Pastor Matt Jacoby or Bridie, or if it's Amy Jelly, or someone that brings God's word, God's truth. And that's so important. And we will continue to do that. But what we also love in this church is the opportunity to tell the story of what God is doing amongst us. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And we're going to hear from Amy and Woon and what God has done, what God is doing, as we then tune in to what God may be calling you to learn from for the future in your own life and the opportunities that God may have for you. So I love the fact that we are in a series at the moment called Rediscovering Jesus. It's fantastic. We're about halfway through. But there's a little bit of a spoiler alert tonight, because I think it's fitting that we anchor tonight's story on this. So at the end of Matthew, so we're looking at Matthew and Mark right at the end, so the last chapter, pretty much the last few verses of Matthew 28, and you'd be very familiar with this in terms of hearing this in church, and this is something that often, if you're ever on mission, you often hear this. It talks about Jesus says this after he goes to the cross, he rises again, he rises from death, and he says to his disciples, and he says to us, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." It's a great commission. Therefore go. And it's for all of us. So we're in a series at the moment where we're looking and discovering Jesus. It's a bit of a spoiler. I've jumped to the end of the series, and I'm sure at the end we'll be talking about that. But I think it's fitting and right that we anchor what God has been doing through the work of AK in this, because there's a great piece around what it looks like to be a church that's willing to go. And when we go, we come back and we tell stories. It's a great encouragement to us. I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves. I think we've got a photo as well of your family. If you could introduce them as well, that'd be great. And just personally as well, I was so encouraged recently. As a family, we went over to Bali and got to spend some time with you guys, the Van Drievens, and a few other families that we were there with as well. And I was impacted. I've been sort of a bit of an arm's length in a way, not because of choice, but more the fact that I haven't actually seen it in person, but to actually witness AK and all of the programs, the people, the impact, the relationships that were just really impacted me personally, and us as a family. We just were so touched. We had a great holiday, but that was a real highlight for us. It was significant. So thank you. Really looking forward to hearing you guys share. So just talk a little bit about your family, who you guys are. That'd be great. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mark. I've been thinking about that actually when you said at an arm's length, and you know, and reflecting on your time with us in Bali, and what it felt like for us was not an arm's length anymore. It was more of a warm embrace. Yeah. And it was just a really special moment for us as a family and for us as a ministry. Yeah. But thank you for this opportunity to come out and speak to the church, both morning and night, and also to clear the air a little bit. Because for most of you, you might know that I'm not Boaz, but I will answer to Boaz. In fact, I've held conversations on Boaz's behalf and then passed on the message to him later on. So I'm Woon, and this is Amy. We've got a 23-year-old daughter, Nevada. Then we've got Isla and Lulu as well, 10 and 6. Amy's been in this church for many, many years, basically her whole adult life and also youth life. But for me, my journey started here. I walked through those doors there in 2004, and the stage was against that wall there. And one of the first people I met was Mark Jelly. And everything that's happened since then is a result of Mark Jelly. And I think a lot of us in this church can say that. You know, Mark's commissioned a lot of us giving us a lot of trust, a lot of training, a lot of faith in us. Quite often, I think it was just me, a lot of discipline as well. That year in 2004, Mark and I actually started Red Frogs in Torquay. I know 2 years prior to that, Robbie and Mark started Lawn Red Frogs. So after Torquay, we did Rye, we did Phillip Island.
Yeah.
And then an opportunity came up in 2012 to send a Red Frogs team to Bali. With a little bit of nudging by Mark and Andy Goulet, I put my hand up, myself and Paul Murgard went over to Bali, did a recce, and that year in December we took a team over, and that's where we met Jeff, who you'll see in a video soon.
Can I just jump in? You know, like when God says, or when you say to God, I'm never going anywhere, don't ever say that.
Yeah.
Because we'd been to Thailand a couple of years prior and we were like, oh, we could never go to Bali. Oh, no, it's just too confronting. There's so much going on. Anyway, 11 years later, we go every year and, you know, we love it.
So good. And so we might even jump to that meeting, actually. So you and you went over to Red Frogs and there was someone else who was supposed to pick you up, but they didn't turn up. And it was this gentleman called Jeff Collins.
Yeah, exactly right. So the chaperone that we had teed up for us there, because you can't do anything in Bali without a foundation covering. And so the foundation that covered Red Frogs there had to send somebody to meet with us. That person pulled out last minute. And Jeff Collins jumped in the breach. You'll see Jeff Collins on the video. He's an Australian fella married to Irma. And Irma is a local Indonesian. And prior to us meeting with Jeff and Irma, they had already been working with a community under a tree on a tarpaulin, teaching people in that community, in that local slum, English, numeracy, and doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu and boxing with them as well.
Yep. Yeah, and you and Jeff didn't know each other, but you had a bit of a common interest.
Yeah, that's right. So Jeff and I worked out that we both enjoy Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is a bit of a strange sport. Amy will call it, you know, hugging sweaty men on the mats.
Actually, I'm going to just pause. Yeah. I know we didn't do this this morning, and there was a reason why, because you actually weren't dressed for that. You were wearing a suit and like a jacket and looking pretty flash. I know I got Marcus Rittmeyer here. He doesn't know anything about this, but he's been grappling for years. Because I had a number of people after this morning said they wanted to actually just see a little bit of a demo. And we're on it's Sunday night. We're a little bit relaxed. We're just going to have a little go. So, Chris, can you just help me? We'll move this table. And Marcus, we're just going to
need a little bit more space than this, though.
Did you know this, Marcus? Is that what you're going to do?
Thanks, brother.
Thanks. Put your hands together for Marcus. I'm not sure what happened there. Yeah. I just turned and we're going to need someone to put that table back for
us.
That's
all right.
Thanks, Marcus. Could you grab it for us? Thanks, mate. So what happened there? What were you doing?
Well, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, to win a bout, you would cause your partner to submit. Yeah. So that's what I did when I tapped him.
Great.
And to do that without causing injury. And that's why Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is called the gentle art.
That's a bit boring.
It certainly doesn't look gentle when they're doing it, that's for sure.
No, that's it. So let's just, thanks for that demo and thanks, Marcus. I think we'll put our hands together for those guys.
That was good technique, Marcus. Well done.
I had not prepared that earlier because I knew you wouldn't want to do that. So that's why I wanted to be spontaneous. So for you guys then, we spent a bit of time. There's, I think, a photo early days with the team, and there was after the just dirt, you did get together with the team back in early 2013, I think it might have been. I think there's a photo of you guys out the front, a bit of dirt and a bit of a team. What happened there? That's the one?
Yeah, that's right. So in 2013, one of the young adults of this church, Tristan Johnson, asked me to teach him Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. At the time, I was learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Victoria Police. I used to be a police officer.
And I said to Tristan, I said, if we're going to do this, let's invite other people along and let's treat it as a ministry. And so we started a movement or organisation called Grapplers for Christ. Within 12 or 18 months, we had 7 affiliations across Australia and our first one overseas, which was with Jeff. So Jeff was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well, and he still trains. And so we formalised what he was doing under the tree and on the tarpaulin. And with a team actually from this church, we had a steering committee and we came up with the name Academy Christus. And we wanted to be really intentional with our name, because in Southeast Asia, and I'm from Malaysia, it's you even have to declare your religion on your card, on your identification card. And so we didn't want to mislead anyone, and we really wanted people who were engaging with our community and our programs to know that, you know, what we were doing was based on Christian faith, based on the Bible and based on God, and everything that we were doing was because God had called us to do.
That's quite different to other jiu-jitsu and grappling clubs, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. There's not too many Christian clubs that would identify outwardly as being Christian, but we really want to do that. In fact, our logo, which we came up with our steering committee, and it's probably a good time to acknowledge that in the early days when we were quite disorganised, we had Josh Bosca, Stephen Ailey Rittmeyer, Lucy Scro, Amy and Chris Waters, you know, they were part of the team who came up with this logo and also our vision, our purpose and things like that. But this logo here is actually a cross, which you can see. The box is a Bible that's opened up like a book, and there's a ring around it to signify wholeness and completeness. And that's our focus for every individual that comes to Academy Christus. And for everyone who works with us in our team, it's all about spiritual, physical, emotional health. And we build them up in all areas, including education.
And in regards to this brand, and I love what recently happened. There was, and we're going to watch a video in a second, but recently there was a significant fight in Las Vegas. I think we got an image of that as well. Just talk a bit about that event and why was that significant, and the fact that that logo got flashed. There it is. There you are. How many people watched this?
Oh, there were millions of people watching this. So for the guys that don't know, I'll put my hand up and say I didn't know Craig Jones. And when Jeff rang me up and said, Craig Jones wants to visit, is that okay? I had to do a little bit of research on him. But for the people in the know, Craig Jones is the most famous Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu grappler in the world. And he's actually Australian. And he came up with the Craig Jones Invitational, and it's the most, it's the highest paid grappling tournament in history. So Abu Dhabi Championships was paying $10,000 per winner. He was paying every competitor $10,000 to show up and $1 million for the category above 80 kilos prize money, and $1 million for the person who won the category for under 80 kilos. And so this is a significant guy, heaps and heaps of following. And it was really amazing when he came to Bali to meet with Bali MMA. Bali MMA said, hey, go down the road and have a chat to Academy of Christus, because they're using Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to reach a community that needs help in other ways.
Yeah, it's amazing, Woon. And the relationship with Craig Jones, and you'll see this in a second. So Jeff is the gentleman, blonde hair, he's got the tattoo, and Craig, he's a taller guy that's going to be sitting, and they're just going to have a conversation. So as of 2 months ago, I think this video was produced, I think it's had just under 100,000 views. So AK, in the last few months, has the exposure through that fight in Vegas and as well through this documentary has been incredible. So we're just going to show us, it actually goes for 20 minutes, we're just going to show about 3 minutes. Thanks.
It's always been about community. It was 100% the Jiu-Jitsu community that started things off. I mean, if you look behind us here, we've got 90 gis. Every one of those gis was donated.
Yeah, well, that was what was so incredible, is when we wanted to help you, You didn't just ask for money. You said what we need is computers to help these kids become more self-sufficient and have careers.
Money doesn't solve problems. Like, you can throw money at any problem, it just doesn't fix it. You have to provide opportunities, education, skill development, employment, that can help them to help themselves. Yeah, so we started here, and then, you know, Irma, we had our third kid, and we had to stop coming here. And a friend of ours from Red Frog, his name's Woon, he's top guy, he went back and told his jiu-jitsu coach, Jamie, at Renegade, that, you know, we needed a place, basically. He ran the grapplathon, and he taught jiu-jitsu non-stop for 33 and a half hours. They raised, all clubs from Melbourne came together, and the goal was to raise $10,000 to start up AK in Bali. They raised $10,014. And the transfer fees, the bank fees, $14. So that got us started at our gym, and we've been there for 8 years now.
That's what helped take you from under the tree to the physical.
Exactly, the jiu-jitsu community, man. Like, and every gi that we've got at AK, you'll see later, they're all donated. Hello, 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 Sikatil. Yeah. Yeah. Got a wrestler's grip.
Strong grip.
But I'm Mingus at him. 2 months old.
2 months old. Beautiful.
I think for all these kids, jiu-jitsu is an incredible tool. It gives them confidence, it gives them discipline, it teaches them that they can persevere, and it translates directly to life in so many ways. Guys, what's the first rule of jiu-jitsu? Lilu.
Don't do jiu-jitsu, you're not supposed to do it.
Good. How do you get somebody to stop? Billy.
Tap.
Where's the best place to tap? Barida.
Tap on the other person.
So Duff is one of our original students from 14 years ago. He works as a Gojek driver, so basically delivering stuff on motorbikes. And his goal is to get a car so he can, you know, step up a little bit in earnings. But we've got quite a big vision for him in the future.
How many foreigners do you think actually get an insight into that world or even local Indonesians?
Very, very few. So most people who come to Bali know Kuta Beach, they know Canggu, they know the party scene, they know the surf scene, they know Ubud. You know, very, very few people realise that there are these communities on the outskirts. And in reality, they're not really that hidden. The thing I find is, you know, we went in today to visit all these people. They're offering us a drink. They're offering us, you know, stuff that they've been picking from their garden. You know, they're so hospitable, and yet they have so little. So even though these people are, for want of a better word, quite poor, they have amazing perseverance, amazing personalities. All they need is an opportunity. And that's where the problem is. It's hard to get an opportunity when you're right at the bottom.
Amazing, amazing exposure and great insight that video gives of the work on the ground. So, Amy, you've been sitting there and I've been having some good chats with Woon, but this is not just a Woon thing. I've known you for a number of years, and even when recently we were over there in Bali, your heart is very involved. Just talk through a little bit how AK has had a big impact on your life.
Well, I'm hopefully not going to cry like I did this morning, but look, it's very close to my heart. So if I do, okay. Here we go, cry again, come and talk to me later. I'm better one-on-one. Look, AK through jiu-jitsu has been an amazing vehicle for us to reach the local community in Bali. We work with two... I guess you would call them slum areas, Kampung 1 and Kampung 2. One of them actually is in a rubbish tip. So they bring their families up in a rubbish tip. They collect rubbish and they sell it on to people that take it and then... compact it and distribute it and they get their money. So it's quite a very poor and vulnerable area. What's been great is that through jiu-jitsu, through this very interesting sport, that it's just been such an amazing vehicle for us to reach these communities, and that's how it started. Now we run two schools, two different campuses from kindergarten to year 12, so government equivalency over there, which means that, you know, the kids get a good education. We run disability education, a walking program. We feed over 80 students every day.
Doing a great job.
It makes you very grateful for what you have in this country.
Yeah. Doing great, Ames.
Yeah, take a photo, Robbie.
We might just throw some of those photos. I think we got some firstly at the gym that we talked about. So, keep moving through those ones. Anyway, that was a good time. So, and then I think after these, you'll see some pictures of the school.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, isn't it, Amy? That's actually been quite significant. Obviously, what happens in the gym, Elizabeth and Neville Clark, they came for a visit recently as well, and which is wonderful. But the education stuff, just talk through a little bit of that. I think we're going to flick through some more photos of that. That'd be great. I think there's a photo of a white building. There we go. It looks pretty just average from the outside, but that's what is happening inside is significant. There it is.
Best building on the block.
And there's our kids. All the Indonesian kids are really engaged with the teacher. They're our kids, totally just not interested. But, yeah, what's happening, Amy?
Well, we have a bit of a philosophy with AK is you don't get a hand out, you get a hand up. And so by providing English classes, we can provide our students with the necessary education that they need to perhaps get a job at one of the hotels or one of the restaurants in Bali. It's a big tourist area, as I'm sure that you know Bali for. You don't often see the impoverished side of it. So by providing the education, especially English, it really gives them a hand up. We just don't keep giving. We actually educate them on the basic needs that everyone is entitled to, and therefore it will improve their quality of life, their productivity, their just where they can be. You know, they're often told because your family is rubbish collectors, that's what you'll amount to, that's what you'll be. But we believe in these kids.
Doing a great
job.
And
we believe that, you know, that they will go places and change the world. So that's our hope for them.
When I was there, you see that. That is a culture that AK has from all the staff members, you guys, the board, everyone. So we appreciate it. So for you, Amy, and I'm going to go to you again because I think it's great what you're saying. We really just value your heart. And, you know, it's a bit different time, especially when you were mum early days where it might have been, where Woon was having to go over pretty regularly. But what has God shown you? How have you learnt some things in this journey that's been quite an impact to you?
Well, I feel like what Woon and I have done is just used what we had in our hands and what God's given us. That Bridie spoke a couple of weeks ago, amazing sermon. If you haven't heard it, get on the podcast. But she spoke about, you know, use what you've got in your hands. You know, Jesus calls us to use what we have in our hands. And at times it's been very small because I've been at home with our two children, with our two younger children. And I've had fantastic support from family and friends and church community to be able to be releasing of wound, to be able to go and do these things. Of recent times, I've been able to actually be involved hands-on in the project. For a long time, it was me stuck at the villa while the kids were having sleeps and Woon was out doing stuff and experiencing great things. But over the last few years, I've really been able to get alongside the teachers and the kids at the school and really encourage them. And we spend a lot of time with Jeff and Irma, who are on the ground every day doing the hard yards. So just being able to pray with them and really encourage them. And I think probably if you take anything away from me tonight is that just use what God's given you, you know, like where you're at now, God can use you because he's already implanted that in you. So he will use you if you just say, like we sang earlier in the song, you know, here I am, like I'm available. Are you available for God? So I feel like that's, we've been available in different capacities over the last, you know, 11 years. Yeah. But I've certainly been absolutely blessed by these kids at AK, as you can see.
Yeah. And I love that. And thank you for sharing. It's great. And there's beautiful humility in what you say. And Woon, I know you've learned a lot in this journey as well. What's some of the lessons that have been quite an impact on your life? What's God shown you?
Oh, man, I've had to do so much growing up. But firstly, you know, it's such an amazing privilege to be a mission partner with One Hope. You know, a few years ago in 2018, it was one of our church elders, Al Tool, that recommended us to be, you know, for a partnership. And it's through that and so many other faithful supporters in this church that we've been able to sustain where we are. But one of the things that came out of the Craig Jones Invitational, we were one of two main beneficiaries from donations there. So we actually got $78,000 donated to our charity from that event, which is going to allow us to provide a micro-enterprise opportunity for the two communities. And one in particular is Kampong 2, where they recycle the rubbish, sort through the rubbish, recycle the cardboard boxes. And what's happening now is that those cardboard boxes are getting put in trucks and getting sent away for processing, and the people making the money are the guys driving the trucks. So what we want to do is provide a machine for them there, recycle the in-house, turn it into packaging that we're going to use to distribute soap that we're going to make as well. So, but what I've learned, oh man, I've learned, well, even this morning I opened up the Bible and it opened up to Galatians 5, verse 25. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. For me, what I've learned over time is just really leaning into what God's doing. Mm. And quite often we're not right in step. We're either just a little bit in front, and so we got to pull ourselves back, and I get a little bit frustrated. And then other times I'm playing catch up, you know. But being able to discern where God's step is really through speaking. And he gave us a clue in that in Genesis, you know, when he created the heavens and the earth, and it was formless and void. And what's void? Chaos. What did he do to chaos? He spoke order into it. Mm. And so we've just discovered over the last few months in particular, as we spoke as a leadership team to each other and be really honest and open, and sometimes that hurts, that order started speaking out into the ministry, and the path started becoming clearer, and the door started opening. And the other thing that God's been teaching us too was the story about Abraham, you know, where we were praying and praying and praying so hard and waiting so long for breakthrough. And when you're just at the cusp of that coming through, God just wants to see that die in your life. Mm. Yeah. And I just really feel like it's because I think if God gives us to us what we've been praying for so hard in that moment, I think that's, it'll overcome us. Mm. And so we had to do that. You know, it was only a few weeks ago, I was over in Bali with the team, with the Vandrevens, and speaking to Jeff. And, you know, I'll be honest, we almost said, let's scale it back to just Renon. Let's scale our budget back to 15%, 20%. Let's all go get jobs, you know, do what we can do. And then we really prayed and gave it all to God. And it was like he gave us the baby, but and then asked us to sacrifice it. Mm. And we did. And the very next day, $50,000 donation.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just amazing.
Mm. And all that stuff's incredible. And we love hearing those stories of where God's broken through. And it's a powerful word. And I appreciate you sharing that. But what I love about whenever we talk about AK2 is those individuals. And I know Duffa, he got mentioned. I think Jeff mentioned him on the video. But as well, he's someone, I think we got some photos of Duffa when he was really young, young kid. There's another one as well. And this was a number of years ago. But now he's an adult. And I think it mentioned he works Gojek driver. he's also involved with you guys as well. Let's talk. Just talk through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. If you leave that photo up there. So Darfield's the very first kid that Jeff and Irma started working with and also the very first kid in our school. His dad is ex-military, but he's injured, so he's not able to earn an income. And so he lives in the slum, K1, which is behind the Australian Consular Office in Renon. And so Daffa is the primary breadwinner for that family. That's him on the left, second from the left. He's graduated. He's finished a government equivalency program. He's got his certificate. And rather than sending him back out into the workforce where he could be exploited, we've actually recently employed him. And he doesn't know this yet, but the opportunity is there for him to become a manager in the new enterprise that we're starting. And wow. I haven't had time to talk about that, but maybe next time.
Sounds good.
So, and that stuff are there. On the very right is Grisia. So she's a trained, qualified, experienced accountant from Surabaya. We've recently employed her, and she manages Daffa and Rinaldi and a couple of other team members there, and she's upskilling them as well. So we also want to be a destination location for employment, for education, for sports. And so part of our philosophy is holistic change. And I know we saw that in the video with Karwin Gwari, if you guys might have seen it on the wall. But part of our mission is to bring wholeness and completeness to every person.
Wow, I love that line at the top there. Bringing hope, changing lives. In a lot of ways, that hasn't changed from when Jeff and you guys were first over there and you were a bit of grappling on the dirt and a bit of education in the back room where Jeff and Irma were living. It hasn't changed. I love that. So in terms of the future, and what would you love, and I'm going to pray in a second, what's some things you'd love us to pray as a church for AK and for you guys?
Yeah, like in that verse in Galatians 5:25, you know, keeping in step with what God's doing and just continually pray for us to be in tune with that. Also pray for a team to come around us in Australia as well as over in Indonesia and continue to build that. What we'd love is to see you're part of the family. Academy Christus, Grapplers for Christ, it all started with One Hope. And we'd love to see you go there. And it's so easy, it's so accessible. You know, $350 return flight. Go there, meet the team, encourage the team. You don't even have to do anything. Just hang out, roll, box, you know. Teach the kids English, teach them a song, whatever it might be. And that just means so much to our community over there.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, I really appreciate you guys. It's been so great having you. You've really encouraged us. I know this morning I had so much great feedback. But we just really want to honour you guys, especially your humility. I just love how humble you guys are and what God has done through. AK's been incredible. But I still remember when things started and how you guys were quite bold with the brand, the fact that AK had the cross. And I think that God has really honoured that you guys were bold and didn't shy away from the fact that Christ is at the centre of what you guys do. And yes, there's grappling and all these different programs, but it's about seeing lives changed and bringing hope, which is just great. So would you join with me this evening as we give thanks for what God is doing through AK, give thanks for Woon and Amy and the team, and as well for us as a church. It's a great challenge for us as well, looking at where we can be open, where we can be like, God, as Amy said, God, I'm available. You know, we sang that earlier. It is a great posture. It is a great stance to say. And I'm going to loop back to what I said at the start in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go. It's an action word. It's a doing word. The Christian faith, what we're about, it's actually about action. We don't just come and gather here on Sunday and leave and then we just live our lives. It's about going. God, where would you have me go? And a lot of us are sitting here even tonight might be thinking, God, what is next for me? Over summer, it might be an opportunity to serve at Blue Moose, or I know for Woon and I and Robbie, we cut our teeth serving God at Red Frogs. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to start serving somewhere where you've never even thought before. Be open, be available. Let us pray.
Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to hear the story of AK. We thank you for what you've done in the ministry and through the ministry over a number of years. And we thank you for stories like Duffa and others as well that have been impacted. We thank you for those pictures that we've seen tonight of beautiful young children and kids being educated. Lord, that touches our hearts. We know, Lord, that lives are changed and there's hope restored when young people are spoken love and hope and believed in, Lord. We love that, God. And that resonates for us here in Geelong in our own relationships with children. Lord, we know that your scripture says, let the little children come. And Lord, as a church, we continually want to be a church that let the little children come, that we would be sowing into the next generation. And Father God, we thank you for what you're doing. We pray for Woon and Amy. We pray for Jeff and Uma as well and the board and other key leaders that are a part of AK. We thank you for them. And God, we do really ask, Lord, that you would continue to use this ministry to see you glorified, to see lives changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.